Welcome, everyone, to episode 156 of the NBA podcast. It is not even an hour into free agency, and we already have so much to talk about. So before we get underway, reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some five-star reviews. We'd love any feedback. We're now being hosted on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, so check them out on Twitter at Almighty Casts. Joining me tonight, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
It's going well. I got up at 4:30, so thank you for the advice of actually getting some sleep. I appreciate that. You actually had to convince me to go to bed. So thank you for that. Also, Brian, I'm excited because this is episode one of season four of the NBA podcast, meaning we are entering the final year of a rookie contract. So that payday, hopefully, is coming up.
Right. Yeah, we're only accepting max deals. We won't sell for a penny less.
Nope. I mean, at this rate, we should be getting max deals, like designated max deals. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's so true. Man, so, all right, let's just dive right in, Mort, because we a stunning amount of deals have gone through today.
Yeah. LeBron who?
Yeah. I mean,
first domino? Yeah, right? No.
Not at all. I mean, so we talked in our prediction episode about how the tea leaves seemed to be that Paul George was going back to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Reports continued to go that way even throughout Saturday. There was, you know, news leaked that Russell Westbrook was flying back from a family vacation in Hawaii to hold a party. And Paul George was going to be in attendance, which all but confirmed that he was going to re-sign there. So in our prediction pod, we suggested, you know, probably a 1+1, maybe a 2+1 deal. Turns out he's doing a 4-year deal, $137 million, which is the max for him. Fourth-year player option, so it ended up being a 3+1. But that's a firm commitment from Paul George to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Were you surprised by the length of that contract?
I was. I really was. I thought for sure he would go 1+1 or something like that. Mm-hmm. This is him committing.
Yeah.
It really is. And in the last episode, we talked about him, you know, saying no to the Lakers would be weird because that would might prove to be his only shot at getting to the childhood, you know, team of his.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I got to give him credit. Like, he actually changed his mind and was willing to commit long term. That's pretty amazing. I mean, $137 million is a lot of money, but George, he's in his prime. It makes sense to pay him at this point in time. Melo is coming off the books next year, meaning they could be players in 2019. Well, I don't know, because Jeremy Grant also signed for a pretty big deal, so we have to look at the long term picture. But still, now you have the two guys at least, and you move forward. This season is going to be somewhat of a throwaway, but you have that core of those two guys moving forward. That's at least something.
Yeah, I don't even know if this season's going to be that much. I don't know. I mean, it'll depend on what they do with Carmelo Anthony, I guess. You know, our good friend of the podcast, Mark Deeks, has been on Twitter tonight explaining why they shouldn't necessarily stretch him.
Correct.
You know, they have an enormous luxury tax bill coming if they keep this roster as is. It's going to be over $100 million. It's going to be a record-setting tax bill. But if you stretch Melo, then you're costing yourself what could be the mid-level exception for the next 2 years, basically. You're paying that much just to get rid of him. So, like, no Thunder fan should want to stretch Carmelo Anthony. Like, it's not your money. You shouldn't give a damn. Like, you should hope you keep him and keep your books relatively clean, because now you've got Russ on the Supermax, Paul George on the 30% max, Steven Adams on the 25% max. Those guys are taking up 90% of your cap space for the next 3 years. Like, you aren't going to have cap space. The only way to improve your team from this point forward is re-signing your own guys and spending the mid-level every year. So you're going to want, you know, you're going to want these things. You're going to want your ownership to use those in the future. But that said, like, I think the Thunder were making fun of them because, you know, their season ended in disappointing fashion, obviously. But
Yeah.
Like, they were really starting to hit their stride right before Roberson went down. I think that was probably part of their pitch to Paul George was, like, you know, bring our all-world defender back. And that series looks a lot different. Like, Donovan Mitchell is not having a field day against us. So, you know, give us a shot with that in year two. Like, everyone's more comfortable in the system. I think OKC, I'm not going to say they're on the level of the Warriors, obviously. The Rockets we will get to shortly because they just suffered a big loss.
They did.
You know, I think OKC could be right in that next tier with Utah, with Minnesota, with, you know, depending on how you feel about Houston now, and we'll see what happens over the rest of the summer, but Houston's in there too. Like, they feel like they could be at least a top four seed in the West. So, I mean, it's a lot of money, but...
It is.
And Paul George is worth it, and Jeremy Grant's worth it. I mean, Jeremy Grant, he got 3 years, $27 million. You have to re-sign your guys because you have no other alternative if you're OKC. You're not going to be able to replace these guys in the open market. So, like, that is an enormous bill, but if their ownership is willing to pay it, all the power to them. And I'm excited to see what this Thunder team looks like next year. I think they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, look, Melo is going to regress, so that's why I made the throwaway line.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to necessarily improve upon what they did last season. Oh, we can say last season now, because we're actually entering the new season now. Yeah. I mean, like, what's their ceiling for this season? Like, second round?
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah? I mean, that's okay. The thing is, you have to look, like, a year or two ahead. Like, that might increase, depending on how that roster proceeds. What I'm nervous about is more so Russell Westbrook than anything, though, because he took a step back last year as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure, like, what the right Russ is or the accurate portrayal of Russ is, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think the good thing for the Thunder is you look at the Cavs and how difficult of a time they've had with all this uncertainty with LeBron, like with him on all of these short-term deals. It's just tough to build a team around that because you're not sure what your team's going to look like a year or two down the line. And that was the problem with the Paul George trade. You know, they reportedly came very close to acquiring Paul George last summer, but Paul George wanted a commitment from LeBron that he was going to be there beyond next season, and LeBron wouldn't do it. So that potentially contributed to that deal falling apart. Now, for the Thunder, you know you have Russ, you know you have Paul George, you know you have Steven Adams locked in. Those are your core guys. It's going to be easier to at least sell a vision of, this is our team for the next 2 to 3 years. Like,
yeah,
you know, we can go out and pursue people with that tax. It's going to be a taxpayer mid-level. We can go out and pursue people with that and say, like, look, you know, we've got this foundation in place. You don't have to worry about our outlook a year or two down the road. So, I think it's, again, a lot of money, but if their owners are willing to spend it, like, this is an enormously huge night for Oklahoma City. Also a good night for the Spurs, because now...
Also a good night for the Spurs, yeah.
Now, if you're looking at Kawhi Leonard, like, a year ago, we all thought Paul George was going to be a Laker right now. He made no bones about saying he wanted to go to the Lakers in 2018. You know, Sam Amick was all over it. That report was, a lot of people were reporting it. Kawhi is now in the same situation where a lot of people are reporting he wants to go to the Lakers in 2019. But, you know, if you are a Boston or a Philly, all of a sudden you can look at this Paul George situation and say, if he comes to our city, comes to our team, likes our organization, and realizes he has a decent shot to win with us, maybe he'll re-sign with us. And then the Lakers now are under more pressure because they see, oh shit, we thought we were getting Paul George this summer, and now we don't have it. And now we could play the same game with Kawhi. We could wait it out and, you know, say he's going to sign with us next summer, but maybe he doesn't. So, big night for the Spurs, potentially, with this Kawhi Leonard trade.
Right. I'm going to challenge you on one thing, though, because Paul George arrived from Indiana.
Yeah.
Kawhi is from San Antonio. Like, what kind of organization do you find in the league that's better than the Spurs overall? So
that's fair.
That, yeah, I mean, what I'm saying is, obviously, if he comes to Boston and stuff like that, he'll notice some similarity in how the organization is run. Like, it's a top-class organization, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think every organization he would go to would be a small step down from the Spurs. And I think he'll realize it and go, what the hell did I do?
Right.
Which is going to potentially throw a wrench into things. Like, mm-hmm. But I agree with your overall point. I mean, absolutely, you should gamble for talent. We, you know, you and I loved the Paul George trade last year for OKC.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because at that point in time, Victor Oladipo wasn't Victor Oladipo.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, they took a gamble on talent. They were buyers in a seller's market.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out for them. Yeah, teams should absolutely go for Kawhi if he's available. But like you pointed to, they have to look inwards before. Yeah. I mean, like, you have the... While we were talking, a report came out saying the Los Angeles Clippers were really trying to engage in the mm-hmm. Kawhi trade talks. Like, you're not an organization with any sort of identity yet. You're in complete flux. Like, yeah, you got a decent groundwork to be good in the future, but you have, like, you don't know who you are yet. Your organizational infrastructure is still kind of muddy.
Right.
Like, what is your expectations here?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'll get to a couple a couple questionable deals that we've seen come in so far, too, where it does beg the question of, like, I don't understand what these teams are thinking necessarily in terms of, like, where you envision yourself and how you see these guys fitting in. But before we go there, Chris Paul is the other big story of the night so far. 4-year max with the Rockets, $160 million. You and I thought 3-year max was probably the best case scenario for Houston, but 4 is better than 5 at least, right?
It is. That last year is... Well, I was going to say is going to be ugly. We don't know, but it could be ugly. It could be very, very ugly because he's 33, so at that point in time, he's going to be, you know, that's after 3 years, so 36, going into his age 36 year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that could be some pretty big money to pay for a point guard who has taken a significant step down at that point. But, you know, who knows? It's Chris Paul. For all we know, he can play like this until he's 40.
Yeah. Oh, we just got a signing coming in. Marco Bellinelli, 2 years, $12 million to the Spurs. Man.
He's returning home. Nice.
All of these Sixers legends have gotten overpaid right away between
But we and... also, we had two other signings, by the way.
Yeah.
While we were talking about Paul George. Derrick Rose returning to Minnesota. Omri Caspi going to Memphis. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Tibbs. He's trying to get fired. I'm convinced.
Well, it's a minimum deal. They can work around that. But I know. Yeah. So you're losing your boys. You're losing Ersan. You're losing Marco.
at that price, good riddance, man. Yeah. I mean, look, they're productive players, but if they were costing Marco's 2 years, $12 million. Ersan was $321 million to the Milwaukee Bucks. Right. Sixers were not going to be in that ballpark for either player. The Sixers, I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again, roster spots are at a premium for them. They've got 13 guys under contract already. There are reports that Jonah Bolden, at least when Brian Colangelo was in charge, he said Jonah Bolden was likely to come over. So that would be 14, which leaves one spot available. I do wonder if when LeBron James likely signed with the Lakers, if they will agree to a buyout with Jared Bayless or try to use him as salary matching for a trade. I don't see the point of keeping Jared Bayless on the roster, but still, you're just not going to have that many spots available, so it doesn't surprise me that Marco and Ersan are gone. But let's talk about the Ersan deal, because I'd say that's probably one of the more questionable ones we've seen so far tonight. Not necessarily.
Was it fully guaranteed?
I haven't seen. I think it was partially guaranteed.
Oh, okay.
Let me go.
Because I didn't see like any attached notes to that contract. Because on the surface, it's 3 years, $21 million, as you mentioned, right?
Right. I wanted to say it was partially guaranteed. I don't remember where I saw that, so I could be wrong. I mean, my problem with it isn't the money. It's A, the years, and B, it hard caps them. So for the second straight season, this is much like Detroit last year with Langston Galloway. All of a sudden, Bobby Marks had a good tweet about this on ESPN. They have $110 million in salary right now. The hard cap's about a little less than $130 million, but they cannot exceed that hard cap, and Jabari Barker is still a free agent.
Ugh. Yeah. So that's not great.
Yeah. It begs the question of, is, you know, like, in theory, Ilyasova can just be a poor man's Jabari. He can fill that role not as well, but he can, you know, be that stretch four guy.
So, yeah, and he's a more stable shooter.
Right. So it begs the question of, are the Bucks basically preparing themselves to lose Jabari Parker?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
We talked about naming Jabari, but here's the thing. I thought about this after we talked about it. What if he goes down again and you have him locked up? Then you can't nay-nay him at all.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe they should just cut bait at this point. Like, if the Kings are willing to sacrifice a lot of money for him, like, just go, yeah, sure. Or maybe, like, let them know, you know what? You should up your offer because we'll match. And the Kings, being the Kings, would be like, let's add another $15 million to that contract.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could happen. I know. It could happen.
And I mean, like, the Bucks, even if Jabari signs an offer sheet or agrees to an offer sheet during the moratorium, the earliest he can sign is after, which is noon on July 6th. The Bucks would then have 2 days to match. So, like, their best case scenario, frankly, is he reaches a deal quickly, and that gives them upward of a week to dump salary to, if he gets an offer sheet north of $20 million, and that pushes them beyond the hard cap. Like, they would still have time to dump salary to retain him. But, man, just like, why are you doing this to yourself on day one, midnight of free agency?
And we can ask the same about the Pacers, who signed Doug McDermott to 3 years, $22 million, all guaranteed.
Yeah.
Look, so I've been exposed to McBuckets for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He is absolutely, undoubtedly one of the best shooters in the league. Mm-hmm. The problem is, he does not take many three-point shots.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a shooter, and that's more or less your only strength, that's a problem. Like, you need to be able to shoot the ball at a high clip. His career high in three-point field goal attempts per game, per 36 minutes even, is 5. Like, that should be 8 or 9, even 10.
Right.
Like, go look at Gerald Green, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Who just signed.
Yeah, a minimum back to Houston.
Yep. So, basically, for this deal to be worth it for Indiana, Doug has to come in and become that long-range gunner who ups his attempts significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, he's just one of those, you know, sort of average dudes who won't really move the needle any.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, much like with Ersan, it's the years that bother me more than the salary. Like, I would rather see them... I mean, you know, I forget who reported it, but someone, I think it was Woj, like a day or two ago, that said they were interested in Aaron Gordon. Maybe what happened with Thaddeus Young opting in made them realize they don't need another power forward, so maybe that steered them more toward wings, but, like, I'd rather see you overpay him for fewer years than get him locked in for 3 years, because I'm hesitant to criticize it that much, just because I had said all last summer I didn't get what the Pacers were doing, and I thought they had the ceiling of a 10 seed, and then they obviously surprised me. So, for all we know, McBuckets is about to hit a new level next to Oladipo and next to Thad and Bojan and Miles Turner, and I'm going to look like an idiot again. but these are, it's like, those type of guys don't strike me as guys you go out. I mean, hell, the McDermott signing broke before midnight, which...
How is that possible?
Right.
I don't understand. It really, tampering?
Yeah, it begs the question of whether Indiana will be hearing from the league office on that one.
They weren't the only one. Like, here's the thing. So many deals broke about 5 minutes before midnight. And I think the amount of attention that we as Twitterers and bloggers and podcasters put on it, the league is going to respond. So next year, there's going to be like a memo or something. And it's not going to change anything behind the scenes. Teams are still going to do what they do.
Yeah.
It's just going to be like, hey, guys, don't announce stuff like five minutes before.
Oh, man. I mean, we don't know what the market was for McDermott or Ilyasova for that matter, but it just feels like there's going to be, you're going to look back in 2 weeks and there are going to be guys signing for the minimum or for the taxpayer MLE at who are probably better than those two guys.
Gerald Green.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Let's go to the Rockets, Mort, because we already talked about Chris Paul, but they lost Trevor Ariza.
They did, and this deal, like, we were talking about this right before we started recording. So, Trevor Ariza went to Phoenix 1 year, $15 million. I have no problems with that deal, by the way. That's fine.
No,
But what I have a problem with is the fit, because I don't know what Phoenix is doing. Now they have Trevor Ariza, Mikal Bridges, TJ Warren, and Josh Jackson. Okay, so you can argue a lot of those guys can play the four as well as the three. Most of them are, by nature, small forwards. That's fine. So you have, but here's the thing. They all slide up to the four. None of them slide down to the two. TJ Warren is a 3-4. Trevor Ariza is a 3-4. Josh Jackson is a 3-4. Mikal Bridges is probably the one guy who is like stuck, like only being able to play the three. So you have all these guys who can't really swing down to the next wing position, being shooting guard. Like, what do you do there? Like, how do you find all those? And then you add Marquise Chris and Dragan Bender into the mix at the four. Like, someone is going to ride the pine hard. It's probably going to be Mikal Bridges.
Right.
But even with him out of the equation, I could see a lot of those guys be like, what are you doing? Like, there are not enough minutes to go around.
Right. And also, like, what are you doing at point guard? Because they waived Tyler Ulis right before free agency started. Mm-hmm. Now they're down to Brandon Knight and your boy, Eli Okobo.
Yeah, give Eli Okobo all the minutes that he wants. That's fine. I hope they start him. That would be amazing. But yeah, I mean, if nothing else, they need a backup point guard. They need someone to come in there with some experience. I mean, starting a 20-year-old rookie with no real backup in place, that's not great. I mean,
it's Brandon Knight, I guess, but maybe...
But is he a point guard, though? Is he?
Nominally?
I always felt he was. Yeah, I think I felt more so he was a 2/1, but like we don't even know about his health. Like,
right,
we have no idea what type of player he is anymore.
Yeah, which begs the question: are they going to run Devin Booker more as a playmaker this season and like trust him as a de facto point guard? And maybe you're going to have lineups where you have Booker, Bridges, Ariza.
Jackson.
I don't even know. Jackson or Warren and then Ayton. But then, Bender and Chris, too. Like, they're going to have... They have a lot of versatility, I guess. It's just...
Yeah.
I don't have... For Phoenix, whatever. Like, it's... That's fine. What 1 year, I'm not ever going to criticize any 1 year deal. Because it doesn't matter. Especially for a rebuilding team. Like, it super doesn't matter. It has no long-term bad effects on their books. I would much rather, like, Indiana should have definitely just given Trevor Ariza a 1 year $15 million deal rather than 3 years 22 for McDermott. I would like that so much more. But it makes me wonder, like, what is Phoenix's play here? Is it literally just we want to be mildly more competitive than we were last season? We think Ariza could be a good veteran presence, especially for our 18,000 wings on our roster. But this team isn't making the playoffs next year.
Right. I think it has to be like a mentorship thing, because I cannot imagine why they would go out and sign Ariza, which is a complete win now like move.
Right.
So maybe they're trying to invest in Mikal Bridges through Trevor Ariza. Like, really tried to show Bridges, like, this is the type of guy we want you to become. Like, a switchable 3-4, maybe, because he does have the length. Like, he just doesn't have the weight. And how he gets shots and what... I don't know. It doesn't really make sense. It has to be a mentorship thing. If it's not, what the hell are they doing?
Right. Is it like, do they think they are in the conversation for the playoffs? Because maybe it would be in the East, especially if LeBron leaves, but in the West, like...
Yeah, no.
It's
no.
going to be... I mean, we thought last season was a bloodbath. My God.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is going to be ridiculous. This is
yeah, but, be, like, yeah. Dallas is now considerably better. Mm-hmm. Memphis is better. Phoenix is better than they were last year. Like, whether they're playoff yeah. contenders or not is another story.
The Lakers are going to get better.
Right. Yeah. The Clippers are... Well, I guess the Clippers might... They might fall apart.
Well, I mean, again, so here's the thing about DeAndre Jordan, right? Is it addition by subtraction in yeah. the sense... No, but in the sense that if he was playing, you know, mentally disengaged,
mm-hmm. That's
like
true.
If he wasn't really invested in the team mentally, mm-hmm. like would it be better to just like throw Montrezl Harrell into that spot, who's right. like an energy machine?
Yeah.
So... I don't know. Obviously, like, talent-wise, he's a huge loss.
Right.
Huge loss. But mm-hmm. I could just see them sort of picking up the pieces there. They get more offensive production from that position anyway.
Yeah.
But let's talk about DJ.
Yeah.
Dallas. 1 year, $24 million. So he basically got the same amount of money as he opted out of.
Right. Have we seen the official terms? I saw, like, Mark Stein had the approaching $24 million, but I haven't seen...
Yeah, I haven't seen anything official, but yeah. I did see someone, I think it was a Dallas reporter, I'm not sure, say $24 million, but that could just be a guess based yeah. on the Stein thing, but, right.
It'll be in the ballpark, somewhere around there.
Oh, we really have breaking news right now. Maurice Spates is nearing a lucrative deal with the Guangzhou Long Lions of the Chinese Basketball Association.
No! Come back, Maurice. I miss you already. A Sixers draft pick, mind you.
Yeah.
A near lottery pick.
So, sorry, I was just... Mason Ginsburg, he got me for a second. He said J.J. Redick is about to get another 1 year, $23 million deal from Philly.
he's not wrong.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, even if we assume $24 million for DJ...
Yep.
It's 1 year. That's fine. What I was against was like a 3 year deal.
Yep. I know. In that last episode, I predicted a 3 year deal. I thought, you know, I figured that was the reason he was opting out, is to get a longer term deal. If I guess he just wanted to control his destiny, and the Clippers, I guess, couldn't find terms they agreed with Dallas. So he's just basically taking his option, like, de facto taking his option and then losing his bird rights in the process. And for Dallas, there's minimal risk involved. I mean, you can argue they had better center options. Again, I wrote like 1,800 words on all of their choices at B-Ball Breakdown earlier this week. But if they really, the top option for them was Clint Capella. But if they just didn't want to wait out the market that long, which is fair. Again, it's much like Jabari. You would have to wait until at least July 8th before you're confirmed that you're going to get him. And Houston has given no indication that they're going to let him go. If anything, Daryl Morey has said, like, basically, Clint Capella cannot price himself out of Houston. I mean, as you said, Mark Cuban could just want to screw with them, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't blame them for just going right after DeAndre right away. And a 1 year deal, look, if it doesn't work out, go find a center next summer. That's fine. There's going to be plenty of bigs on the market every year. It's just how these things go. They're very fungible. If you don't have like a Karl Anthony Towns or a Joel Embiid or a Nikola Jokic.
Oh, who got $146.5 million.
I think it's even a little bit higher because the cap came in.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So,
yeah.
Maybe 148, actually. I think I saw that one.
Yeah.
But, it's like, but they kept Will Barton. Like, they kept Will Barton.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. Yeah, me too. I think they'll nene him, actually, ultimately.
Yeah.
But I like the idea that they are aggressive about retaining assets. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Like, everyone had him pegged for Indiana.
Right.
Because we heard the interest level was pretty high, but apparently he didn't even take a meeting with them. Like, he did.
Well, who knows?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, but But I mean, that's interesting. Like, yeah, that could be him just going, you know what, I want to stick around. And if they hang on to Barton and they don't trade him at all, like, I would be fine with that as well. If the same logic applies as with the OKC example. Like, yeah, if the ownership is ready to pay for it, like, that's fine. Go for it. Like, yeah, Barton is an excellent player. He's gonna start at the three, I saw a report saying.
Right. Yep. Chris Haynes reported that.
Yep. So you'll have, like, a very deep, very functional, very talented squad next year, mm-hmm, who I have to assume makes the playoffs this time around, even if they didn't last year. I mean,
a starting five of Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Will Barton, Paul Millsap, Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good.
And you have pieces off the bench, too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Trey Lyles is good. Yeah, Trey Lyles. And, like, unlike OKC, I think Denver is gonna try to at least trim their tax bill. I don't know if they're gonna be able to get out of the tax, but, like, you gotta figure they've got Wilson Chandler on an expiring, Kenneth Faried on an expiring, Darrell Arthur on an expiring. They're calling Atlanta, Chicago, Sacramento right now. I mean, shit, I think Philly, you know, they're not gonna do anything until LeBron officially chooses the Lakers. But I would be more than happy to absorb Wilson Chandler's contract if it came with any semblance of draft considerations attached. Like, he's a productive player still. And if they just have to get rid of him to duck the tax, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. I said in the last episode that it would be a major fail for both Chicago and Atlanta specifically if they did not squeeze someone this summer.
Yep.
Like, Denver is right there for the pickings. Yep. It's not just Kenneth Faried and... Oh, you just mentioned him. Darrell Arthur, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's also Miles Plumlee.
Oh, yeah.
Mason Plumlee.
Too many Plumlees.
So many Plumlees. Yeah. Mason Plumlee, obviously.
Right.
Who has a longer-term deal. I think he has a year more. Maybe even two. I don't remember his original contract.
Yeah.
But it's longer. He's not an expiring.
Right.
So that would cost more. I mean, that's the one deal they probably would want to get out of.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're the Hawks or the Bulls, like, you can ask for more, a pick and maybe Malik Beasley.
I mean, because it's all going to be a leverage play at this point, and especially with Indiana using a good chunk of its cap space on McDermott. Like, I mean, I'm just shocked with how many teams have already spent considerable cap space. It's really down to, depending on what Philly does over the coming days, it really could just be Atlanta, Chicago, Sacramento as the only dumping grounds left. Because Phoenix is out now after the Ariza deal.
And apparently, the Hawks are interested in Zach LaVine.
What?
Yep.
Come again?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh my god, Trey Young and Zach LaVine? No.
That would definitely be the funnest offensive backcourt and the least fun defensive backcourt.
Wasn't that what Bulls fans were terrified of? It was Trae Young slipping to seven and then just
that
a...
is very much true. They were. Yeah.
Oh boy. Oh, Atlanta.
So,
oh
no. But if they do it, like, then they can't really this would be a blessing in disguise for Chicago. Like, if the Hawks pay out a bunch of dollars to LaVine, one, they save Chicago from doing that same mistake, and they also free up money for the Bulls to actually go out and get some of those bad contracts and get draft picks. Like, if they don't have to worry about re-signing Zach LaVine, they can actually take on two expiring contracts and maybe even get two draft picks down the road. That's like, true. That would be a very hanky move from them, but it would also be the right move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure you saw it, but Nick Friedel of ESPN tweeted, you know, basically the ideal situation for the Bulls would be somewhere around 4 years, $60 million for LaVine. And LaVine he did not say anything back. He just tweeted the crying, smiling emoji. Which means he's expecting
the laughing so hard I'm crying emoji. Yeah.
Right. Which means if the Bulls do match, well, he's expecting, clearly, much more than that, and which is like the stuff of your nightmares. So, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with you know, after this first wave, we're not, I don't think we're going to see anything with restricted free agents.
No.
At least for a couple days. But as we get closer to that July 6th, the moratorium expiring, it's going to be, the Levine and Parker deals, I'm just low-key, like, morbidly fascinated by.
I think the Parker deal could be worse because this is, after all, two ACLs to right. Levine's one.
Yeah.
And also just the mere fact that you just don't know where to pluck him in, Jabari. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. At least you know Levine is a straight-up two-guard. Like, that's it.
That's true.
But I could totally see a team sign Jabari and think, oh, he's a small forward. He was pecked as that coming in, and you know, right. It takes like 10 years for a team to realize, oh, the scouting report on him coming out of college might not be accurate anymore.
Well, the Kings still think Marvin Bagley can play the three, so.
Oh, God, yeah, God, I saw that.
Keep them away.
That was so bad. That was horrible. Yeah.
Truly, truly terrible.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a good signing, and it's a signing that pisses me off, but Aaron Baines back to the Celtics for 2 years, $11 million.
Player option.
Yeah, and not only, you know, not only was he a productive player, and not only did he hit every fucking corner three-pointer that he shot against the Sixers in the second round, but they used his non-bird rights, which means they still have their taxpayer mid-level exception to use. Like, just really, I mean, I hate him. I hate the Celtics, but I acknowledge it was a job well done all around.
It was.
One golf clap for Danny Ainge on that one.
Yep. That's just a strong-ass deal for a backup center who's going to provide so many layers of stability in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Also, another shout-out to Brooklyn.
Yes.
And John Marks. Like, Harris, 2 years, $16 million. I saw initially on Twitter, not from, you know, some of the big name guys, but some people were like, what? Who? $8 million for this random dude? No, Joe Harris is good. He's actually very, very good. He just plays in Brooklyn, so nobody really pays all that much attention to him.
Yeah.
Like, he can score off curls. He can really hit the three ball. He's begun. I feel he's become a better driver. I don't have the numbers for it, but when I look at him play or see him play, he seems to be more aggressive on the ball, mm-hmm. and he utilizes ball screens a little bit better than he used to.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a feeling this guy could be more well-rounded overall. Like, he's 26. He's not done improving or just rounding out his game.
Right.
He could become one of those guys who could average like 15 points in the season, and it wouldn't really be a complete shock to me.
Yeah, I'm not taking any bets with you. We had that running bet with the Nets last year about whether they would finish with. I think you were you had them pegged as a possible playoff team, and I said
I did.
Like, yeah, under. I'm not betting on them this year. I'm with you. I think the Nets are going to be. No one's going to respect them, but they're going to be better than people expect. Because not only did they get Joe Harris, but they got Ed Davis on a one-year $4.4
million
deal.
$4.4 million. That's an excellent deal for Ed Davis. Should we just talk about Portland, how they just messed the hell up here?
Yeah.
Because for some reason, they renounced Shabazz Napier.
Yep.
The rights to him. Mm-hmm. This dude averaged 8.7 points per game off the top of my head, shot the three ball, like ran the offense. Like, Portland at this point is in no position to deny talent or just like to relinquish talent.
Right.
They need to actually address that situation because outside of Dame, McCollum, to some extent, you know, Nurkic and Alvarigo Mino, like they're really lacking in this talent department.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't afford to give him up. Like, what are they doing right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's what we said about Denver and praising them for keeping Will Barton, even though they were going to plunge further into the tax. We will do the opposite with Portland. And, you know, obviously Portland is in a horrible cap situation for the next couple of years, so that's why they renounced Shabazz, which, you know, I guess their owner just doesn't want to pay out the nose for a backup
Paul
guard.
Allen. Yeah. Of all people.
I know, right? But, like, that's the cost of doing business when you overpay guys 2 years ago. Now they're compounding mistakes. Like, now they made their mistakes 2 years ago, and now they lost at Davis on what is a really reasonable deal. And now you lose Shabazz Napier. And now, I mean, I guess he could re-sign there still, but you at least make it a lot easier for him to leave. And now that Davis is gone, do they have to re-sign Nurkic?
I mean, they have to, but here's the thing. Nurkic could take the qualifying offer.
Yeah.
And then he could leave next year. Right. At which case, we would look back at 2016 as the tombstone of the Portland Trailblazers era with Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
That's the one... one decision can handicap a team so drastically. To be fair, this was two things. Like, it wasn't just Evan Turner, it was also paying out for Myers Leonard.
Yep.
Like, it was two deals.
Yep.
But they just limit them so much. It was horrific, and now we're seeing the downside of it all. It's very unfortunate.
I mean, we saw it in Memphis too with Chandler Parsons. It's like that, especially in 2016, that one mistake can really have not only ruin you for the next couple of years, but as you said, it can lead to Damian Lillard requesting a trade down the line, or it can lead to Marc Gasol, you know, just moping around for an entire season because Mike Conley got hurt and Chandler Parsons' knees are shot. And now, the grit and grind era is on its last legs. It makes you wonder. I don't think we're going to see anything that egregious this summer just because the cap space isn't there. But when the cap space starts freeing up next summer, we're going to start seeing those types of deals again.
Yeah. So I'm going to say something here regarding the Blazers, because I think they have gotten so low on talent. It's talent there's in so short supply.
Mm-hmm.
I think Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum next year, both of them, are going to average over 27 points.
Wow. I mean, they almost have to, right?
They have to. It's out of sheer necessity.
Mm-hmm.
Because who are they going to find right now who is going to provide them a valuable boost, offensively speaking? Who's ready? Caleb Swanigan?
right. I mean, Nurkic, in theory, you would hope for more production. Mo Harkless 15. Is very hit or miss. But, yeah, I mean, they don't have that third guy for sure.
Nurkic is not going to be like a 20-point scorer.
Right. He settled in like the mid-teens.
Yeah. Like 14 to 16-point area, 11 rebounds. That's fine, but like they need more production.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I they have some pieces, but it's just not... I don't think they are there yet.
Right. I mean, there are a bunch of teams out there, like Portland, the Wizards, the Heat, and the Raptors. Yeah. All feel like they just need to come up with some crazy four-team trade where, like, they all just swap pieces somehow and see if that fixes things, because it feels like all four of those teams are stuck and they just don't have any way out based on, the pieces they have, the star pieces they have or in Miami's case, the lack thereof. I don't know what that deal is. If anyone wants to come up with something on the trade machine, send it our way. We'll happily review and send it to the appropriate parties. But that Portland team is gonna be really interesting to see what happens with Nurkic as well. Who else have we? Oh, there was another big name free agent by the name of Kevin Durant.
I was just about to go that route. Yeah, like we haven't even we've talked here for 45 minutes. We haven't even mentioned KD because it was just like, whatever.
It was a formality, but it's good for the Warriors that he took to some degree. It's good that he took the 1+1 because he took $5 million. Because he did that, he can only earn $30 million instead of 35, which is effectively the difference between them. That plus the taxpayer mid-level exception is basically $35 million. So it effectively saves them a bunch of money in luxury taxes. Now they can use the taxpayer MLE. I forget who had the report, but someone, I think it might have been Woj, reported that Dwight Howard is reportedly interested in joining them, which we assumed would be the case, but it's the Warriors. They'll have plenty of interest from other good players, assuredly, and there's talk of Jamal Crawford going there on a minimum deal too, so every little bit helps. And then next year, if so desired, KD can do the full 5-year max. Or, yep. I mean, Chris Mannix tweeted something earlier that was just like, you know, he'll be 30, he'll have 3 rings, and he could be a free agent next summer. Like, he was just kind of hinting at, you know, maybe KD is not going to spend the rest of his time with the Warriors.
Well, here's the thing, though. After 3 years, they have his bird rights.
Right.
So next year he can cash in. If he goes to a different place, he has to do this whole shebang all over again, like 1+1 3 times.
Right.
So I think it's in the cards that he, after next season, or mm-hmm. no, after this season, we can say this season now,
mm-hmm.
after this season, just signs for 5 years, full max, and says, this is my career.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree as well. I mean, it'll probably come down to, I mean, who knows, I guess maybe if the Lakers have an open spot and Kawhi goes elsewhere and LeBron calls him and says, please join me, please, 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 maybe he goes there. Or, you know, the Knicks are obviously going to immediately think they're in the running, even though it'd be very difficult for them to carve out the full 35 or whatever. I mean, actually, it's going to be more than that next year with the cap. It's going to be $109 million or so. Yeah, it's... I think you're right. I think he's going to take the 5-year max and stay with the Warriors. But, you know, I want to say Chris Haynes. I mean, I apologize for...
so many reports out there.
Yeah, I think it might have been Chris Haynes who pointed out he basically took $15 million less over the last 2 years than he could have. So
right.
He's done the Warriors a solid. Next year he's going to get paid. That's fine.
So prediction time. Does Dwight go with LeBron or does he sign with Golden State?
I mean, well, Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer had the report earlier about an hour before free agency started that the Lakers might sniff around a short-term max for DeMarcus Cousins, because obviously Paul George is now re-signed with the Thunder. So they
want to pair LeBron with Boogie.
Right. So if that happens, I don't think you're getting Boogie and Dwight Howard. So I guess it really comes down to if the Warriors offer him the full taxpayer MLE, I would assume he's going to go there. I mean, I still think the Wizards make a whole lot of sense for him if they offer the full taxpayer MLE.
Mm.
That would be, you know, if he's looking for a place where he can really start, he could probably, I mean, presumably he would start in Golden State as well, but he's just not going to put up the numbers he probably could in Washington. So, you know, if he wants to take a 1-year deal, put up numbers, prove he's a good sport, and then try to get one more long-term deal next year, I feel like that makes more sense. That said, Washington's locker room does not seem like the healthiest environment, especially John Wall and Marcin Gortat seem to really start to resent each other toward the end of their time there. So maybe personality-wise, that would actually be a terrible fit for Dwight Howard.
I think he should go to Golden State regardless. I just think it makes sense because you actually touched on something which I think is also applicable to the Golden State situation. He could be a good sport there. He would actually go there and let these other guys be the main guys and just be a rebounder, a screen setter, a lob threat. And I think that would go a long way to showing the league that, hey, I'm actually adaptable. Mm-hmm. Because that's been the big knock on him. Oh, he's not adaptable. I think the reputation of Dwight Howard has preceded him now. To the point where it's actually hurting him and it's unfair. Like, he's a good player. Like, he's incredibly skilled. You know, you don't go out and average 16.6 points, 12.5 rebounds, and 1.7 blocks in 30.4 minutes, like, unless you are tremendously skilled.
Mm-hmm.
And you're what, 31, 32 when you do it. Like, that's amazing. Right. So, he's obviously got something left. Like, yeah, if he joins the Warriors, he's not going to sniff 16 points a game. He will sniff the same 12 rebounds because it seems that whatever situation Dwight is in, he'll still get 12 rebounds. Mm-hmm. Like, you can take that to the bank. And, like, could you imagine Golden State being the best rebounding team in the NBA as well? With Dwight, to the point where they would just be so far ahead of anyone on the glass?
Yeah, I mean, it really just comes down to whether Dwight is willing to accept his role, because that's kind of been the running
behind. So. He's 32. He's going to be 33.
But, like, that's been the running story throughout his whole career, is, like, he still thinks he's this, like, all-star player who they should run post-ups for him the whole game. Like, the offense will not run through you in Golden State. There's no way.
Yeah. I think he really got some bad advice early in his career with all this Shaq thing, because he was never supposed to be a back-to-the-basket player. He was supposed to be a pick-and-roller. Like, that was the big mistake when he came to L.A. Like, they picked and rolled with Pau Gasol, and then they threw the ball into the post with Dwight. It should be the other way around. Like, you could give Gasol post touches, but you should run Dwight as the pick-and-roller. Like, that made no sense to me. But it's Steve Kerr, though. We have to assume Steve Kerr, who's now getting paid over $10 million a year, by the way, because he re-upped.
Yep.
I think he is the guy who can actually make these type of things work. Like, he'll talk to Dwight in his usual Steve Kerr-ish way, and he'll work his magic. I think it's doable, is what I'm saying.
If anything, it'll be like the ultimate Warriors heat check. You got JaVale McGee as a two-time champion. You got Nick Young as a champion. Can you get Dwight Howard in there, too? That'll be fun to see what happens with him over the coming days. Who did we leave out? Oh, Rudy Gay. 1 year, $10 million back with the Spurs. I like it. I mean, gives them good Kawhi insurance. Like, adding him and Bellinelli, like, that Spurs team, man. Even if Kawhi leaves, like, they won, what, 47 last year? Now you add Bellinelli, like, they're probably a 50-win team again.
Which is just, that's nuts in some respects. Because that roster, when you look at it on the surface, put that on any other team in the league, and you would go, oh, they're going to win the lottery next year.
Yeah, it's like a 20-win team.
It really is. Like, do we underestimate Pop when it comes to win production? Like, we always talk about him as the greatest coach of all time, obviously. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if Pop alone is worth an additional 30 wins a season, like, good Lord.
Yeah, right. I know. I mean, you know, they've got now Murray and Lonnie Walker, so that'll be a good, interesting young backcourt.
Deontay's my MIP favorite, by the way.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, we'll see what happens with Tony Parker and Manu, one would assume. I feel like both of them are going to want to come back. If Kawhi does get traded, they'll probably both want to come back just to, like, not leave a bad taste in the mouth of Spurs fans. Like, they're already... Mm. It's already going to be a very bad situation, so they're going to want to be like, all right, let's normalize, let's, like, smooth things out, let's move past that, go into the new era, we'll teach the young guys, give them one more year of mentorship, and then we'll go out. But we probably won't know about either of those for a while. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, adding Gay and Bellinelli gives them some good insurance if and when Kawhi does get traded. And, like, you know, it's whatever they trade him for will bring pieces back, whether it's young guys or picks or, you know, more veteran-type players. Like, the Spurs, I guarantee you, everyone is going to sleep on the Spurs after... If Kawhi gets traded and Kawhi gets traded, and they're still going to win 50 to 55 games at least. Like, they're going to be right in the mix in that, again, they're not the Warriors, but they're in that second tier with a growing number of teams now.
So, with the Paul George success in the back, we talked about this to open the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, teams would be more inclined to look at that situation and go, oh, we can mimic that with Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on... side Philly here in terms of, I think Kawhi goes to Philly. I think a trade is going to be reached here. So I'm looking at a deal. And obviously, you and I have talked about this. It's supposed to be Covington, Saric, and, you know, first round draft picks in some extent. Kawhi is better than Paul George by a significant amount. But you also have to still use that last year's trade as some sort of, like, comparison tool. I think you do if you're Philly. Like, you would argue, look at what Indiana got for Paul George.
Right.
So at what point does this deal for Kawhi become too rich? By adding Fultz, obviously, but, like, how many draft picks becomes too rich? Like, is two enough or is it too much?
I mean, I would move the Miami pick, and then whichever, you know, they get the worst of Phoenix, or sorry, their own and Sacramento next year, long as it's not number one, in which case they would send the worst to Boston. So I would keep it top one protected, but send the worst of the two as well. I mean, yeah.
And then like, Covington and Sarge.
Yeah. And then if you need to, trying to think of you might need to include Bayless just for salary matching. Oh no, I guess because they're under the cap, so it wouldn't matter anyway.
Never mind. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think...
That's a better deal than what Indiana got already.
Right. Because at the time, Oladipo wasn't what he turned into, and he was signed to that big deal, and it looked like...
He was overpaid. Like, let's be honest, we called him overpaid, and it turns out he wasn't, but yeah.
Oh, and we said, like, even if Paul George leaves in a year, at least they got off of the Oladipo contract, which we weren't the only ones who said that, which once again proves all of us know nothing. Because, you know, well, you just don't, like, we're not there for the offseason, especially. We don't know what these guys go through and, like, the training regimens. It seems like Oladipo really took it to the next level last offseason. What, you know, maybe he realized, like, this is my last real shot to prove, you know, I've got this big second contract, but if I don't really start picking up, I'm not going to get a big third one. And now it looks like he's going to get a big third one. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't want to make too much fun of us because, again, you don't know what the other circumstances are. But that said, yeah, I mean, it's tough to find a deal. Like, I just don't know what San Antonio wants necessarily. Like, I would think if you're trading Kawhi, like, you're probably, it would be better for you to get young players and draft picks. And Dario is still young enough. I mean, Covington's a little bit older.
But he's movable. He's an asset. Right.
Yeah. And then also, like, Pop is signed for one more year. He might re-up for one more year after that, but then he's going to be coach of the 2020 Olympics, and then there's talk of him retiring. So maybe, you know, maybe if you're the Spurs, you don't want, or you want to still be competitive in the short term, and you want guys like Covington and Saric, who are a little bit older, who have proven themselves on a playoff team already. So, I mean, look, I said it before, if it's Covington, Saric, and the Miami pick, I do it without hesitation. I think Philly can use the leverage of, you know, look, as you mentioned, they could say this is what Paul George returned last year, but also Paul George wasn't coming off of a weird quadricep injury that, like, ruined his relationship with the franchise.
Right. that's kind of a big point. Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Oh, God, the Sixers are in the driver's seat here.
You would think, I mean, the Lakers, I guess, could be, but if the Lakers sign Boogie, that really...
Yeah, that's my expectation here.
Yeah, so that takes them... I would think that takes them out of the running. I just don't know how you make the salaries match outside of finding a taker for Deng. Maybe they still could. I don't know. But, yeah, then it seems like it comes down to Boston or Philly, which is also an interesting debate. If you're Boston, then... Mm-hmm. Do you say, oh shit, Philly can get Kawhi, and, you know, again, having just seen what happened with Paul George, Philly might keep Kawhi, and now we might have to worry about Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and Kawhi Leonard together for the next 5+ years. Ugh. Do we up our offer? Do we include Jaylen Brown? Like, it sounds like they are not including Tatum or Brown right now.
So a tweet just popped in from Mark Spears.
Oh boy. Okay.
New Orleans Pelicans all-star free agent center DeMarcus Cousins received calls from the Pelicans and Los Angeles Lakers tonight once free agency began, and is expected to have meetings scheduled with both teams soon, a source told ESPN's The Undefeated.
Huh. Wow. Interesting.
So that ties together very nicely with your entire point here, because if Boogie goes to LA, like, there's a free path to Kawhi if you're Philly. Like, oh my God, you will have so much leverage, and the mere fact that you have all those assets and you can still offer them Covington, Saric, and two first-round draft picks without blinking, and it would still be a good deal, even if he leaves the next year. Like, it just screams to me that Kawhi's going to be a Sixer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Mark Stein on the Dan Patrick show. He said they badly want him. I think the advantages for them, obviously the Brett Brown relationship. He was with Kawhi for a couple of years in San Antonio. Also, Kawhi has been consulting with, I think his name is Jonathan Glasshow. I don't know how you pronounce his name, but he's the doctor affiliated with the Sixers, and he's the guy who the second opinion is coming from. That is the reason him and San Antonio got off to their relationship started to dissolve. So no one's going to have more familiarity with that injury than this doctor.
Than the Sixers.
Right. Yeah. I mean, HIPAA is a thing. So, like, Kawhi's going to have to, like, clear the doctor to tell them about it. But, yeah, I mean, they'll have a much better understanding than most other teams and the Lakers or the Celtics or whoever. And whereas, you know, the Celtics, I think, they're in a really interesting spot with Kawhi. Because you can justify, especially if LeBron leaves, like the Celtics are now, if LeBron goes to the Lakers, the Celtics are now the favorites in the East, and I don't think it's close. Like, I think it would be a major upset if they did not make the finals. So you can very easily make the case, why risk it? Like, let's just bring back, you know, let's get Irving and Hayward healthy. Let's just go to the finals and see what happens. But then you could also say, well, now we could, like, set up a fucking empire if we, you know, I know we're risking a lot by trading Jaylen Brown, who could be really good, for Kawhi Leonard, who can leave in a year, but we could
also... But it's Kawhi Leonard.
Right, like, we could also have a dynasty in the making. Like, we could be the antidote to the Spurs, or to the Warriors.
Yeah. Oh, God. That would be terrific. Like, again, I've said this before, and I'm going to repeat myself. Kawhi Leonard fully healthy is a top five player. Yeah. And it seems that we've lost sight of that because, you know, what have you done for me lately? This is the tendency of us in the NBA world. He played 9 games. People are writing him off like, oh, he's not that good anyway. No, he is. Stop it. Just, yeah. He would immediately be the best player on Boston, actually.
Yeah. Frankly, on either team.
Yeah. Yeah. To be honest, he would. Oh, this is going to be interesting. So it might come down to Philly and Boston just chipping away at that deal.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, those are, the, you know, those two teams, if they are willing to pony up, they can blow anything the Lakers offer out of the water.
Oh, and anyone else.
Right. Right. So it could just be, I mean, that's if you're the Spurs, that's what you're hoping for, is a bidding war between those two teams.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Get out of control.
Absolutely. Oh, if the Spurs get Jaylen Brown and picks, or even, you know, your deal of Saric, Covington, and draft picks, and maybe even more draft picks, and players stashed overseas, maybe Jonah Bolden, the rights to Jonah, they could have a feast. Like, they could really have a feast about this.
Right. I mean, it would expedite whatever, I don't even want to call it a rebuild, because again, they're going to win 50 games no matter what. But it would turn them from 50 to possibly 60 right away. Like, they could be the second best team in the West next year, even without Kawhi.
That is so dumb. Like, that is so ridiculous. It's amazing.
So Spurs.
It is.
So quintessential Spurs.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to be writing about the Kawhi Boston angle in particular for Give Me Sports this week. So keep an eye out for that. Yeah,
I just had to throw away 1,500 words for Give Me Sport on the whole Dallas Mavericks center options.
Oh no!
Because I didn't think that DeAndre would sign like immediately. I didn't think we'd see this. I thought we'd maybe see a few signings, so I thought it would have a few days, like a lifetime. But be it. By the way, Omri Caspi 1 year to Memphis.
Yeah,
I think it's a minimum deal. I haven't seen the financial terms. It has to be maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I haven't seen... No, I don't have the terms either. So
no.
But I would assume probably a minimum.
So what is that for him? Like 2.1 million?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay. I'm just going to type that into my spreadsheet here.
Yeah.
But I like that. Caspi is good.
Yeah. I know he was hurt last year a lot for the Warriors, so
yeah,
we didn't get to see it as much. But yeah,
great. No, but him healthy is good. This is the sad part, right? Omri Caspi fully healthy is probably better than Chandler Parsons right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is so unfortunate, but I mean, but what I'm saying is it's actually a significant addition. Like,
yeah.
People are going to look at it and go, oh, okay, Omri Caspi at the minimum, whatever. No, that's significant. That's a significant piece.
Right. And that it goes back to my point about the Western Conference. Like, the Grizzlies are going to be much better than they were last year. Like, there are two teams. It's the Suns and the Kings that I can't make a convincing case that they're going to be in the playoff hunt next year. Probably right. The Clippers, too, depending on what happens with them. But assuming LeBron goes to the Lakers, I think you can make a convincing case for every team in both the Southwest and the Northwest, plus the Warriors and the Lakers. That's 12 teams. Only 8 are going to make the playoffs.
Oh, boy. It's going to be fun. So we have another, like, 10 days of interesting chit-chat about this.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to...
We'll
see.
Yeah,
that's true. Might be for the we have restricted free agency coming up.
That should
at least extend a little bit. So we'll definitely get on that with this podcast. We'll probably come out a little bit more frequently than we used to, just over the first 2 weeks. I'm assuming. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll definitely whenever LeBron James signs, we will record as quickly as possible. We do have families and other commitments, unfortunately, so it might not be like within the hour, but we promise we will get it up as soon as possible. And then, yeah, we're going to be, I'd say, at least 2 or 3 times a week for the meat of this free agency. We'll also start focusing on Summer League because that's going to be starting up soon. It's a really fun time of year. You keep calling it Christmas Eve. I was humming it to the most wonderful time of the year, you know, 30 minutes before the clock officially struck midnight. So... yeah. Any final thoughts from this first night of free agent madness?
I'm glad I slept.
Me too. I know. Yeah. Yeah. You're in a much better mood than you would be if it was
for sure
7 a.m. and you hadn't slept all day.
Yeah. That would. It's almost 8 a.m. right now, and I've already been up for 3.5 hours. But it's fine. I mean, rather that than have been up all night. By the way, we are going to see each other this month now.
That's true. Yeah, in a couple weeks. I'm looking for
3 weeks from now. It's going to be awesome.
It is, yeah. We will hopefully record a podcast live together while I'm in Denmark if we remember
I actually have an idea. We should do a video podcast while we walk down the streets of Copenhagen.
Ooh. I'm going to leave you to do the technical version, but yeah.
I have several camcorders. I even have these small lavalier microphones that you can attach to the collar of your shirt and stuff like that. I have everything. Yeah, we don't need anything. We can do that.
Boom. There we go. So look forward to that. Even after free agency starts winding down, we'll get some video. Sure. Yeah.
Let's do it. We'll figure it out. We'll start a YouTube channel.
Perfect.
That's where the money is, Brian.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, until LeBron James signs, which sounds like, I mean, it could be as early as today or tomorrow. We'll find out soon enough, I guess. But until he does, follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio. We will be tweeting incessantly over the next couple days, so please give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We'd love any feedback. And we're now being hosted on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, so check them out on Twitter at Almighty Casts. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
You too, Brian. I'm getting shirts printed that says, "When in doubt, don't Max Levine."
I'll keep my fingers crossed for you.
Take care, man.
You too.